Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. We're still sleepy. How good is God? How faithful is He? Come on, 8th year anniversary. Come on, that's something to thank God about. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. I hope you guys are well, and I'm really excited to share the word with you this morning. And but before I get there, I just want to chat first. Is that okay? Can we chat? We had a really crazy weekend just past. The boys started playing basketball again. Elijah, my youngest son, has went from baseball to basketball, so now he's playing basketball. And Noah's always been playing basketball, and it was a very intense weekend yesterday. Elijah played his first game. It was 11-11, the scores were. It was a tight game. And when Noah played, it was 12-12. It was another draw. Sorry, guys, hold up. And it was very crazy. It was very competitive. It was wild. It was intense. It was very crazy. But you know what else was crazy? Or you know who else was crazy? My wife. During the game, she was screaming at the ref. She was yelling at the refs. Where's the foul? That's a travel. That's a double dribble. I was praying for her. Lord, I cast this demon out. She was getting angry. You see her here, she's getting all soft and Jesus loves you. But when she's watching sports, let me tell you, she's another person. She's very competitive. It's a very crazy weekend. That's right, you want it to be a competitive one. Hey, again, I'm so excited to share the word with you today. It's always such an honor to share the words. It's always such a privilege, and I feel I've got a word for us, church, to just call us higher. How many of us know the word calls us higher? Not just as a church, but for us individually. And my prayer, Pneuma Melbourne West, is that this word will stir our faith like it stirred mine. It will encourage us, and it'll just realign us back to where God wants us to be. Hey, realign us back to where God wants us to be. How many of us want to be where God wants us to be? Show of hands. And so I just got a word to share. It comes from Joshua chapter 3. I really believe this is a word for us. I believe there is more, church. I believe there is more. And as we step into a new year of the house, I believe there is more. Vanya was mentioning it at Prayer Power this morning. I believe there is more. Come on, who believe God has more for us in this house? I believe God has more for us. I believe God has more for our marriage. I believe God has more for our family. I believe God has more for our communities. Come on, somebody. I believe God has more for our church. And this word in Joshua chapter 3 has been on my heart, has been on my mind for some time now. And again, my prayer is that as we unpack this, that it'll just stir our hearts and it'll just encourage us. And reading from verse 1, it says this. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Shittim. There should be a scriptures behind me from verse 1, Joshua chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Shittim. Yes, that's a place. That's a real place. And yes, it's very stinky. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it about 2,000 cubits in length. That's about 900 meters, almost a K. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go. For you have not passed this way before, Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Verse 14. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark have come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout this time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam. The city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down towards the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on the ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Church, I want to speak to you today from the title of Stepping Into the Promise. Stepping into the promise. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's time to step into the promises of God. Come on, say it with conviction. It's time to step into the promises of God. And before we unpack this text together, I want to give us a bit of context of the story here. You see, Israel has been in Egypt for 430 years. That's a long time. They've been under slavery for many centuries. And in the book of Exodus, we see Moses chosen by God. He uses Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, to lead them out of bondage, to lead them out of affliction, to lead them out of oppression, to lead them out of slavery, and to lead them into the promised land, a promise made to Abraham. And so the Lord hears the cries of the people, and Moses leads them out. They pass the Red Sea. Some of us know this story. They escape the Egyptian. They receive the Ten Commandments. But for 40 years, church, they were stuck, lost, wandering in the wilderness. And finally, there came a time where Moses passed away. But before passing, we see in Deuteronomy chapter 31, God commissions Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. This was when Moses was still alive. And in Joshua 1, after Moses is passing, we see God appoints Joshua as the new leader. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. And so you can imagine Joshua is feeling the pressure. He's feeling the pressure of responsibility, the pressure of leadership. This is a heavy task, church. He's about to lead them into the promised land. He's feeling afraid. He's feeling discouraged. But the Lord says to him in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I want to encourage us, Numa Church, that there may be seasons where we may feel afraid. Hey? There may be seasons where we may feel discouraged. There may be seasons where we may feel frightened. There may be seasons where we feel dismayed. But I want to encourage us, be strong and courageous. Why? Because the Lord, our God, is with us wherever we go. Come on. David says in Psalm 23, even though, he says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Huh. Maybe for some of us, you're in a season of valleys. Maybe for some of us, you're in a season of storms. Maybe for some of us, you're in a season of wilderness, trials, and tribulation. Maybe you're in a season of adversity. I want to encourage you, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, church. Wherever you go, you're not alone. You're not alone in doing this. God is with you. And let me tell you, that is more than enough. That is more than enough. Come on, can I get an amen? Amen. So as we keep reading this text, we see Joshua, he assumes command. He assumes his position. He takes on this leadership role. And in Joshua chapter 2, he sends out two spies to scope out the land, to view the land. And they come back with good report. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has given the land to us. And in chapter 3, we see the Lord giving Joshua the game plan. He gives him the game plan. He gives him the blueprint on how to advance into the promised land. And just as Joshua and the people in this text step into their promised land, I believe, Pneuma Church, that we will step, as we step into a new year of this house, that we will step into the promises of God. Come on. We've already seen God move through this house. We've seen people healed. We've seen people come to Christ. We've seen people declare their faith through baptisms. We've seen families dedicate their children to the Lord in this house. And we've seen people being discipled in this house. But Pneuma Church, I believe there's more. I believe there's more. I believe that there's more blessings in this house. I believe that there's more breakthroughs, more testimonies, more godly encounters. Come on, who's believing with me? Who has faith to believe? Huh? But what stands in the way of Joshua from claiming the promised land was the Jordan River. And in verse 15, chapter 3, tells us that the river was overflowing. And studies shows that the river was about 10 to 15 feet deep. That's pretty deep. That's as tall as a basketball ring. Taller. And the river was about over 100 feet wide. And so this was no easy task for Joshua. And so what does he do? He spends time with the Lord. He seeks his counsel. He seeks his wisdom. He seeks his guidance. And in this text, in chapter 3, we see what's needed in order to cross the River Jordan. We see what's needed in order to claim the promised land. And Pneuma Church, if we're going to be people who step into the promises of God, we have to be people, number one, who follow the presence of God. Verse 3. As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. You see, for the Israelites, they've never been this way before. And so they've been instructed to follow the ark. That wherever the ark goes, you follow. And so for us who don't know, you see, the ark is this wooden chest. It's covered in gold. It's inside and out. But what the ark really represents and symbolizes is that the ark is the presence of God. The ark represents and symbolizes the presence of God. And so when the Lord instructs the people to follow the ark, God is saying, follow me. Follow me. As they advance into the promised land, as they advance into new territory, as they advance into new ground, God is saying, follow my presence. Let my presence lead you into the promised land. And I want to encourage us, Pneuma Church, that as we step into a new year of our house, let us be people who follow the presence of God. Amen. Let us be people who follow the presence of God. Let us be people who walk with the presence of God. That as we advance the kingdom of God, as we take on new ground, as we take on new territory, let us do it with God's presence leading the way. Let us be followers of His Holy Spirit. As we advance the kingdom of God, as we go after the things of God, as we step into the promises of God. Let me tell you, He's not called us to do it with our own strength. He's not called us to do it with our own mind. He's not called us to do it with our own experience, skills, or talent. No, He's called us to do it by His Spirit. By His Spirit, church. Let us be people, Pneuma Church, who are followers of His presence. Let us be people who are filled with His presence. Galatians 5:25 tells us not only to live by the Spirit, but to keep in step with the Spirit. If we want to go where God wants us to go, we got to go where His presence tells us to go. If we want to go where God wants us to go, we got to go where His presence tells us to go. And living a life following God requires living a life of surrender. Living a life following God requires living a life of dependence on Him. It requires living a life of reliance on Him. It requires living a life of trust. Pneuma Church, I want to ask us, do you trust the Lord to lead you? Hello. When facing trials and tribulations, do you trust the Lord to lead you through it? Do you trust the Lord to lead you and guide you into the promises that He has for you? Or do we do it our own way? Do we trust God to lead us as a church into His promises, into His blessings, into His breakthroughs? Do we trust God to lead us into what God has for us? Do we trust God to lead us in this church? Come on. We got to put our trust in Him. We got to let Him lead this house. As we step into the new year, we got to live a life of surrendering to Him and say, Lord, let Your presence lead us. I want to encourage you, church. Let the Lord lead you. Let His Spirit fill you and let His Spirit lead you. Let the Lord lead you into the promises that He has for you. Let Him lead you into green pastures and still waters. Let the Lord's presence lead your every day. In your conversations, in your meetings, in schools, at work, on the road. Come on, who needs the Holy Spirit when they're driving? Come on, I know some of us here road rage. Let's be honest. Let the presence of God lead you. In every aspect of your life, follow the ark. Follow the ark. And I really believe, church, that God is calling us that as we step into the new year of this house, that we be people who are followers of His presence. Amen. Not only we are called to follow His presence, but we are also called, number two, to live a life of consecration. Verse 5, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Before crossing the River Jordan, the people were instructed to consecrate themselves, to set themselves apart, to live a holy life, to dedicate themselves to the Lord, to be an honorable vessel. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20 tells us this, now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. You see, God requires holy vessels for His holy purposes. And before entering the promised land, God tells the people of Israel to prepare themselves for what He has prepared for them. And if we're going to step into the promises of God, Pneuma Church, we need to prepare ourselves for what God has already prepared for us. We need to prepare ourselves for what God has already prepared for us. And in order to prepare ourselves, it requires us to live a consecrated life. It requires us to consecrate ourselves. We need to cleanse ourselves from things that are dishonorable so we can be of honorable use. We need to cleanse ourselves from things that are dishonorable so we can be an honorable vessel. Church, I want to ask us, what are some things in our lives that we need to get rid of in order to be an honorable vessel? What are some things in our lives that we need to get rid of so we can be of honorable use? In other words, what I'm asking is, what are some things that we need to repent of? Because living a consecrated life means also to live a life of repentance. To live a life of repentance. And so I want to ask us, what are some sins that we need to get rid of as we step into the new year of this house? What are some things that we need to lay at the altar today? What are some habits that we need to surrender to the Lord today? Maybe for some of us, it's the lust of the eyes. Maybe for some of us, it's the lust of the flesh. Maybe for some of us, it's the pride of life. Can I encourage us? Let's pursue a life of holiness. Amen. Let's pursue a life of holiness. Let's pursue a life of purity. Let's pursue a life of integrity. Let's pursue a life of repentance. I don't want to miss out, church, on what God has for me because I refuse to repent. Come on. I don't want to miss out on what God has for this church because we refuse to consecrate ourselves. I don't want to miss out on what God has for my marriage because I refuse to consecrate. I don't want to miss out on what God has for my family because I refuse to repent. All because I refuse to live a consecrated life. Let me tell you, there is blessing in living a consecrated life. There is blessing in living a repentant life. There is freedom in living a repentant life. There is blessing in living a consecrated life. Joshua 3:5 tells us, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I don't want to miss out on God's wonders all because I refuse to consecrate. Come on. Church, let's not miss out on what God has for this house because we didn't set ourselves apart for Him. Let us be a people who are set apart for Him. Let us be sons and daughters who are devoted to Him. Come on. Let us be disciples who are consecrated for Him. Let us be a people, church, who has an active participation in our sanctification. Let us be a people of consecration. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And to live a life of consecration, it simply means to live a life of living sacrifice. Simply means to live a life, not conform to the patterns of this world, but to live a life for God. Leviticus 20 verse 7 tells us, God, consecrate yourself, therefore I and be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Leviticus 19 verse 2 tells us to be holy. Why? Because the Lord our God is holy. We're called to be holy because our God is holy. To live a consecrated life means to live a holy life. To live a holy life means to live a life set apart for the Lord. Not only God calls us to be a follower of His presence, not only God calls us to live a life of consecration, but as we step into the promises of God, He calls us, number three, to step out in faith and obedience. Verse 14. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests, bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. The waters coming down above stood and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. And those flowing down towards the sea of Araba, the salt sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan. It's one thing, church, for God to give Joshua the blueprint, the game plan, the play. But it's another thing for Joshua to step out in faith and obedience. We can receive all the vision we want from the Lord. We can receive all the blueprint we want from the Lord. But if we don't apply it in faith and obedience, we'll never see it come to pass. We'll never see it come to pass. You see, the nation of Israel was able to cross the River Jordan, not just because of God displaying His power, but also because Joshua partnered in faith and obedience. He decided to partner in faith and obedience. You see, Joshua was obedient to the Lord. He was obedient to His instruction. He was obedient to His guidance. He was obedient to His leading, but he was also faithful to see God come through. God said to him, you will cross this river Jordan. You just have to follow what I say. You just have to follow what I say. And I want to encourage us, church, that as we step into a new year, as we step in to the new promises of God, we need to partner with faith and obedience. We need to step out in faith and obedience. Because if we can have faith for our salvation, let me tell you, we can have faith for our breakthrough. If we can have faith for our salvation, we can have faith for our blessing. We got to have faith that God will move miraculously. We got to have faith that God will pour out His blessings. We got to have faith that we will receive our breakthrough. We got to have faith that God will do something powerful through this house. And how many of us know that all we need is a faith of a size of a mustard seed? It's all we need. And we can move mountains. But we also have to obey. In the things that God asks us to obey. We also have to obey in the things that God asks us to do. And the things God asks us to say. And the things God asks us to give. And the things God asks to pray. We got a partner in faith and obedience. If I can get the band to come up. Is this helping anybody? Is this encouraging anyone? Glory to God. Verse 14 tells us this. The priests were simply being obedient to what God asked them to do. They didn't know how the river was going to split. They didn't know how to cross the River Jordan. They didn't know how it was going to look like. The Levitical priests were just told to carry the Ark of the Covenant, to go ahead of the people and to walk towards the river. And as they stepped out in faith and obedience, we see God's power displayed. We see the Jordan River being split like the Red Sea. In Yuma Church, sometimes God will ask us something to do. He'll ask a request of us. And it may sound weird. It may sound foolish. It may be uncomfortable. It may be even be inconvenient. But let me encourage us, delay convenience and practice instant obedience. Why? Because there is blessing in obedience. There is breakthrough in obedience. Some of us are waiting on the promises of God, but can I just pose a question? Maybe God is waiting on our obedience. Hello? Some of us are waiting on God, but maybe God is waiting on us. You see, God won't do the next thing until we obey the first thing. Hello? He won't do the next thing until we obey the first thing. And I want to encourage us, Newman Church, let's be people of faith and obedience. God has got some big things for us, Newman Church. He does. I believe it with all my heart. He's got some big things for this house. Let me tell you, we've got a spiritual inheritance in this house. This location specifically. Let me tell you, revival was born in the West. Come on, we've got a spiritual inheritance. But we got to partner in faith and believe for it also. We got to believe in faith that there will be revival in the West once again. Come on, let me encourage you. Let your faith be stirred. Come on, this is our spiritual inheritance. Like I said, the Sunshine Revival will not be the last revival in the West. Come on, I'm bold enough to say that. Let's have faith and contend that there will be a Laverton Revival. Come on, a Harper's Crossing Revival, a Williamstown Revival, a Chaganina Revival, a Point Cook Revival, a Werribee Revival, a Footscray Revival, a West Revival. Come on, let's have faith that West will experience revival again, church. Come on. Oh, Lord. Oh, shit. Oh God, pour it out, Lord. A fresh touch, Father. A fresh touch of Him. A fresh touch, Lord. A fresh touch, Lord. Come on, church. We gotta have faith. We gotta have faith that God will just pour out His revival spirit again. The people will experience His love, His presence. That the lost will be found. the people will rise up and be disciples and make more disciples. Come on, let's contend for mass salvation. Let's contend for signs and wonders and miracles that give glory to God. Come on, let's contend for the kingdom to advance in the West. Psalm 85 verse 6, will you not revive us again, our God? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Oh Lord, let us see it again, Lord. Let us see an outpouring of your Spirit, oh God, across the western suburbs, oh Lord. Do only what you can do, Father. Let there be a spiritual awakening in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. And so, Pneuma Church, as we step into a new year, I want to encourage us, and I pray that your faith is stirred, that we be people of faith and obedience. Come on, church, it's time. Why don't we stand? It's time. It's time, church. It's time to step into the promises of God, church. It's time to be a people who follow the presence of God, that follow the ark. It's time to be a people of consecration. It's time to be a people of faith and obedience. It's time. God has got a promise for us in this house, and God has got a promise for you. But I want to ask you today, church, what's your Jordan River? What's your Jordan River? What's standing in the way between you and the promises of God? I want to encourage you in this. Only God can help you overcome the river. And so as the band leads us, we're going to open the altars. Vanya, if I can get you to come up as well. If that's you today, that's saying, Lord, I want to be a man and woman of God that follows your presence. I want to be the one who consecrates and gives my life to you, lives a life of setting apart myself for you, to live a holy life for you. If that's you saying, Lord, I want to be one who steps out in faith, in obedience, can I encourage you, just step forward as the band leads us. Me and Vanya would love to pray for you. Thank you, church.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.